All right. Happy Sunday, church. Happy Sunday again. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited that I can share this message today. And before I start, I would like to pray first. So let's prepare our hearts and let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you so much that you can gather us here for this service, Lord. Thank you that we can worship and praise your name together with every members of our church. And Lord, thank you so much for all the things that you've done for us. Indeed, Lord, we probably lost count of things that you've done for us and that you will do for us. And Lord, as we going to go into this sermon, Lord, help us to prepare our hearts, help us to prepare our mind and our ear. Let there be openness. Let your Holy Spirit works in us to open our eyes to you, to your beautiful things, to your wonder, and to be in awe of what you've done for us, Lord. Help us, O Holy Spirit, to listen to the words of God and to be transformed day by day as we become like Christ every day. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, as you can see, the title today, it's Thanksgiving. This year is kind of weird. You know, it feels like it's fast and it's also slow. You know, there are days where it feels like, oh man, it's going so slow. But on the other hand, you know, here we are in November and next week is Thanksgiving. So at the same time, it feels so fast because we are entering Thanksgiving already. And the church for this Sunday and next Sunday will dedicate our message to talk about Thanksgiving, because I think it's not just, you know, it's not just a U.S. holiday, but I think it's a very important theme in the Bible. So I think we're going to spend these 2 weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday, to talk about Thanksgiving and the attitude of Thanksgiving. Now, you know, in the U.S. itself, when you talk about Thanksgiving, I think the first thing that comes to mind, you know, is the Thanksgiving meal. You know, where you gather with your friends, with your families, or maybe both, or maybe you have this gathering multiple times. I think in the past, you know, I used to have, you know, just a meal with my family. I mean, in the U.S., I have my sister here. And then after that, you know, I have separate meals with my friends and maybe another meals with a set of different friends, right? And I think this year, though, I think it's going to be different. But I think it should not prevent us to still be thankful. Now, I know, you know, with the given situations and the COVID-19, I think on behalf of the church, I just want to encourage everyone and to remind everyone to keep health in mind, you know, to follow the guidelines, to wear your mask. And then if you want to gather, you know, with your friends or with your family, make sure that you don't congregate with too many people at the same time and try to wear masks whenever possible. Let's keep everyone, you know, your friends, your family, healthy. And let's fight this pandemic together by being vigilant and by following the guidelines that has been provided. All right. So other than the meals, though, of course, the next thing that, you know, we discuss during this time of the year is, what are you thankful for, right? When you talk about Thanksgiving, you know, before you can giving thanks, of course, you know, there has to be something that you are thankful for. And so today, you know, I'm going to ask you again, and I'm going to pause for a few seconds so that you can think about, you know, what are some of the things that you are thankful for in this time and seasons. What are you thankful for this time and seasons? Now, I'm going to approach the answer to these questions from two ends. So you might not fall into, you know, either ends. You probably fall somewhere in the middle of the spectrums. But I'm going to approach answering these questions from the two ends, from the two polar opposites. And by that, I mean, the first thing is nothing to be thankful for. And when asked about what are you thankful for, there just hardly anything comes to mind. And usually, though, when that happens, you do have a long list of complaints. you know, at a time where you don't have things to be thankful for, I almost can guarantee that you have a list of things that you can complain for. So this is the one end. And again, you might not fall into this, you know, in this category, but you might be closer to this than to the other end. And I know this season and this year has been hard, and some of us are affected harder than the others due to our job, due to our health conditions, due to our family situations. And so it's just been difficult and challenging to come up with what you are thankful for. And so today, for those of you, you know, who feel that you're close to this end, and I just want to share a very short verse from the book of Acts, where Apostle Paul says, "In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being." Now, what does that mean? How does that relate to Thanksgiving? So let me unpack that a little bit. So what that means, and this is closely related to the doctrine of creations. So what this verse means, what Apostle Paul means, is that with creation, God doesn't abandon his creatures to themselves. It's not like he creates the world, he creates humanity, and then he just leave it. And, you know, things will work by itself. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is that God not only gives them being and existence, but also at every moment, at this very second, he upholds and sustains them in being and enabling them to act, enabling us to act and move and, you know, have our lives together. What the Bible is saying is that we do not create ourselves, we're not self-sufficient, and we can't keep our lives going for even one more extra second without his upholding power. Now, I know this can be weird or maybe difficult to accept, especially in the West, where we idolize independence, where we idolize self-sufficiency, right? So many of our movie, of our cultures, stress the point that, hey, you know, if you want to be successful, be independent. You have to be self-reliant on yourself. It all depends on you. You know, we talked about this self-life control illusion a few months ago. But according to the Bible, even your very being, even the fact that you're still living and breathing today, that's because God sustains you and upholds you. You know, and God has been sustaining this world and all his creations since the beginning of time to now and to the future. And so all that we see, all that you touch, all that you have, even yourself, will disintegrate, will cease to exist if God doesn't will it anymore. So today, if you're still breathing, if you'll still be able to watch the Sunday service, you'll still be able to participate in the Sunday service, I think we can still all give thanks to the gift of life. And we can still give thanks because God is still upholding us. And I'm not belittle your problems, because I know life can be hard. Life can be unfair. Life can be filled with disappointment and failures. It feels like you are suffocating. And unfortunately, that is the reality of this broken world. I mean, even Jesus himself says that, you know, there will be storms in this life. And so being a Christian doesn't give you a free pass out of that suffering, out of those challenges, out of that disappointment. But I truly believe that being a Christian will give us a reason to still be thankful, even when you're in the middle of your life storms, even in your darkest moment, even when you feel like you are sinking. You can still be thankful, because in Christ, you're safe. Because in Christ, you have your hope for your futures. Because in Christ, you've been promised to enter into his heavenly kingdom. And because in Christ, you know that God is for you and not against you. That he will not leave you nor forsake you. And at the very least, you can still be thankful because you're still alive. Because God still wills you to be alive. God still sustain you and me and your friends and family to be alive. So church, You know, I don't know who you are. You know, if you feel that life is just suffocating at this time, that there's nothing to be thankful in this life, then take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. And just be thankful that you can still breathe. Just be thankful that you can still see and hear. Just be thankful that you can still move and act and have your being. Because that means God is still sustaining you and withholding you. Amen. So that is, you know, the one end. The other end of the spectrums is, you know, this. Maybe you have a lot of things to be thankful for. You know, I just list a bunch of things that are that I am personally thankful for. You know, I'm thankful that I still have good health. I'm thankful that, you know, I have my wife and my children. I have my friends and family. You know, I still have a job. I can still provide for my family. I have a home. And I think the list will go on and on. You know, if on one hand, you know, there's nothing to be thankful for, on the other hand, there's a lot of things that you're thankful for. And again, you might not fall into, you know, in the either end, you might fall into, you know, somewhere in middle, somewhere closer to this end, somewhere closer to the other end. And the word that I want to share for you who are, you know, who are feeling thankful, and I know there are many of you in this church are feeling thankful. I truly believe that this church are filled with people who is generous, who has a thankful heart, who have a grateful heart. So I'm really confident there are many of you, a lot of you, you know, who are closer to this end of the spectrums. You know, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And some of the verses that I want to share with you then are two. One is from Psalm 107, verse 8 to 9, and it says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." So in this verse, the psalmist is giving thanks to the Lord because, you know, he provides for this person, or provide for the Israelites. You know, he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry. Okay? The second one, it's from Daniel, from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 23. Daniel says, "I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to the dreams. You have made known to us the dream of the king." So just for you who is not too familiar with Daniel, so Daniel, the book of Daniel is part of the Old Testament. So Daniel is an Israelite who was brought to Egypt, brought to Babylon, because at the time the Babylon Empire has defeated Israel and brought the people of Israel back to the Babylonian Empire. So Daniel lives during the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, and at the time, you know, he was working at a court, and the king had a dream, and no one in his court is able to interpret the dream, to understand the dream. And that's why Daniel is thanking God that that God gave him favor, that God gave him wisdom to understand the dream of the king, which is the king Nebuchadnezzar. And because of that, he rose in prominence in the court. He becomes one of the important things in the court. And that's why, you know, Daniel is giving thanks. So this is more like giving thanks for a successful career, for example, right? Now, the reason I'm giving you these two verses, you know, these two set of verses, which not be, you know, very related by itself, but there are a point that I want to share with you today, which is we need to remember that when you are thankful for a lot of things in your life, that means God has been blessing you with a lot of gifts. We need to remember to enjoy the gift, but love the givers. Enjoy the gift, but love the givers. And if you see the Psalms before, right, he's thankful for his situations that physically he is fulfilled. But when he gives thanks, he relates that back to God's characters, his unfailing love. right? The same thing with Daniel. You know, Daniel is thankful for his good career, for the favor that God has given him. And he relayed all that blessing back to God because he knows that all that he has, that all he's thankful for, comes from God. And that's why he's praising God for it. Because if we don't do that, then the problem with us, the problem with our natural, you know, sinful natures is that we will make good things into God things. We make good things into God things. You know, all these gifts and blessing that God has given us supposed to lead us closer to Him, supposed to lead us into praise of Him, supposed to teach us about God's characters, you know, His kindness, His generosity, His faithfulness. But oftentimes, when we are in the middle of abundance, when we are in the middle of success, of you know, success in a career, success in our family, or whatever it is, when we live in abundance, we often forget that all these gifts comes from the Lord. Instead of praising Him, we often begin to praising ourselves. You know, oh, how capable I am now that I'm promoted to be director. Oh, how capable I am, how smart and hardworking I am now that my business are running successfully. You know, and you will talk to your wife, oh, how lucky you are to have me as your husband. See how successful you are. See how much I can provide for you and our kids. When we are in the midst of all the abundance, oftentimes our hearts get clouded and we forget that all that we have is a gift from God. And in doing so, instead of enjoying the gift and loving the giver, we end up loving the gift and make God as a means to an end. And this often happens very subtle, and you know, we don't realize this. And if you want to see whether this, you know, you affect you, there are two ways. I think one simple way is to look at your prayers. Just look at your daily prayer. What have you been praying for today, the past few days, the past weeks? And if you notice that most of your prayer consists of petitions, that could be a sign. Because if you are in the middle of abundance, if you are blessed with a lot of abundance, and most of your prayers are filled with petitions, that can be a sign that all you care from God is His blessing. Again, there's nothing wrong with petition by itself. Even God Himself told us to ask for Him, ask like little children. But then if all your prayer exists or consists of mainly petitions, then perhaps they're a sign. And another thing is to ask yourself, what is your nightmare? What is the thing that if you lose it, your life will be meaningless? What are the things that if you lose it, or if you never get it, your life will be meaningless? And, you know, if you answer that, you know, honestly and truthfully, then you might have a clue on what are some of the things, some of these good things that maybe has become your God things. Okay? So the solution to this, of course, you know, in the spirit of thanksgiving, is to give thanks to the Lord. And that's why, you know, I share with you the verses from Psalms, the verses from Daniel's, you know. Give thanks to the Lord. You know, it's not complicated, and yet, oftentimes we don't do it. You know, I'll be honest, oftentimes I don't do it, especially if I'm in the middle of abundance, especially if life is going great, if life, you know, as I like it to be, oftentimes I don't give thanks. I just forget about it. It feels that, you know, God owe me that, and it's supposed to be for me. It's something that, you know, feels like because of me, or I feel like, oh, that's just something that God owe me because all the things that I've done for Him. So, church, I want to remind you today, you know, in the spirit of thanksgiving, you know, let's give thanks to the Lord. And here in Psalm 69, this is by David. David says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know, David the king of Israel, during his time, you know, the Israel prosper, you know, they have their kingdom, they have the city of Jerusalem. And in all that success, you know, David used to take care of sheep, and now he's a king. And with all of that, he says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. And I believe that when David says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving, he doesn't mean, oh, I will make this small God look bigger than he actually is. I don't think that's what he means. I think what he means is, I will make a big God begin to look as big as he really is. You know why? Because givers are more glorious than receivers. Benefactors are more glorious than the beneficiaries. So when we thank God, we acknowledge and display that he is the giver, that he's bigger than us. That's why David is saying, you know, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to giving thanks to him. And in that sense, you know, I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to put him in a proper place. I'm going to look at him in awe and reverence, because he is that big God. He is that great God. He is that loving God that has been faithful in my life. So when we thank God, you know, we acknowledge that we are dependent on him. But when gratitude doesn't spring up in our hearts at God's great goodness to us, it's probably mean that we don't want to pay him a compliment. We don't want to magnify him as our benefactors. And I think there is a very easy reason, or a very good reason, on why human being by nature doesn't want to magnify God with thanksgiving. And the reason is that we love our own glory more than the glory of God. Because of our natures, because of our sinful natures, we don't want to give thanks to God because it will detract from our own glory. Because we love our own self-esteem, we love our own pride, we love our own glory more than the glory of God. You know, at the root of all ingratitude is the love of one's own greatness. For genuine gratitude admit that we are the beneficiary, that we are dependent on God, and we, especially in the ways, hate that. We hate that. You know, we don't want to see ourselves as sin, sick, and helpless. We don't want to see ourselves as helpless children who rely on God for sustenance, who relies on God every day, who relies on God for every little things in our life. You know, we want to say to ourselves, to convince ourselves that we are self-sufficient, that we are good, that we are great, that we can do this ourselves. But unfortunately, you know, that's not what the Bible is saying. And that's why, you know, David says, you know, I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. So church, today I want to encourage you, to encourage every one of us, you know, to sing praises with all our hearts, to give thanks to the Lord with all our hearts for every single things, every little things in our lives. Because he is that great God. Because he is that faithful God. Because he is that generous God. His merciful God. So let's give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Express it and not just be grateful about it. You know, there's a very good quote that I found from Tim Keller that says, it's one thing to be grateful, it's another to give thanks. And gratitude is what you feel, thanksgiving is what you do. You know, for many of us, you know, we can say, oh yeah, we are grateful for this, we are grateful for our husband, we are grateful for our children, we are grateful for our wife. But church, if you never express it, it's all just what you feel. It's just all in your emotions. The other person never knows. Gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do. And when you don't express your gratitude, then it feels like ingratitude to the ones for whom you're grateful. Unexpressed gratitude feels like ingratitude to the ones for whom you are grateful. Now, if you never say thank to your wife, thanks to your children, thanks to your husband, no matter how much you feel grateful about them, to them, it feels like you never appreciate them. It feels that you're just taking them for granted. And that's why church today, you know, let's take us even you know, a more step forward, you know. Don't just be grateful about what you have. Let's give thanks to the ones that have blessed you. Let's give thanks to the people who have cared for you. Let's give thanks to the people that has watched out over you. You know, it could be your parents, your spouse, your children, your co-workers, your boss, your pastors, your care group leaders. You know, sometimes we are so deep in self-sufficiency, we're so deep in being independent that we forget that where we are right now is because all the efforts that other people have put into us, you know, from our parents, our siblings, you know, our friends, our teachers. There's so many people that have played a role in our life. So today, you know, I want to encourage you to give thanks to them. And parents, you know, I'm a parent myself. You know, I'm at the stage where I start, you know, we've been teaching Kyle to, you know, to say please, when asked for something, to say thanks, when he's given something. You know, as parents, we oftentimes repeat it again and again to our children, like, hey, give thanks. Oh, someone just give you a candy. What do you say? Oh, someone just give you a present. What do you say? Thank you. And Kyle often say, thank you, tattoo. You know, he's still struggling to say thank you. You know, we as parents try so hard to ingrain in our children to say thanks. But I believe, you know, that the best way for us to help our children learn about Thanksgiving is by modeling it ourselves. So today I want to ask you, when was the last time you say thank you to your husband? When was the last time you say thank you to your wife? You know, even from simple things like preparing dinner, preparing lunch, or maybe for cleaning up the house, for helping with groceries, you know, for working hard. Parents, if you want to model this Thanksgiving behavior to your children, I believe that the fastest way, the most effective way, is for you to model it yourself. You know, and it's something that I'm learning. You know, I used to take for granted, right, with my wife preparing food or my wife taking care of the kids. You know, oh, it's her job. It's part of responsibility. You know, when Carl is listening to me, I take it for granted that, you know, as a kid, you need to listen to me. Whereas as I learned about this, you know, since a few months ago, and I think we can help our children, we can help ourselves to be more thankful by practicing, you know, this Thanksgiving even for the simple things. So now when Carl listened to me, when Carl obeyed to me or to my wife, we'll say to him, oh, thank you, Carl, for listening. Thank you, Carl, for respecting your parents. And then when my wife, you know, prepare food, you know, I'm still often forget, but I learned to say it more, you know, to be thankful that, hey, thank you for cooking, thank you for buying the groceries, thank you for thinking about what to prepare for the next dinner, what to prepare for the next lunch. So husband and wife, you know, especially if you have kids, you can be the role model for your kids so that they can grow to be a thankful person. And today, you know, as we enter the Thanksgiving week, let's look at our life and let's express our thankfulness to those people that has been there for us, to those people who've been taking care of us. And even more so, let's thank our God, let's praise Him and give thanks to Him for all that He has done for us. Amen, church? Before I end, I also want to give an update about our building. I also want to give thanks to those of you, to pastors, to Jesse, to various other people who has been helping out with our church building project. You know, some of you, or a lot of you knows, we bought this building in Appian Way a few years ago, but then the building was not used for church before, so it has to go through a lengthy process of to get the permission so that it can be used as a church building. And today I just want to share a little bit details about where we are. So currently we are waiting for the result of the seismic test. The seismic test is to make sure that the building can hold if there's an earthquake, to make sure that the foundation is strong enough. So we're still waiting for the seismic test, and then if that passes, the next step is to get the building permit, you know, the engineering and architectural design. And I'm just, you know, I just shared the design that we have in mind for this building. So if we pass the seismic test, then the next thing is to get the building permit, you know, to make sure that, you know, what we envision this building to be, what we envision this building look like will be approved. And church, I just want to say that we have big vision for this church. We want to reach out more people. We want to reach out the local people. We want to provide a space for our kids on Sunday service. We want to provide a space for kids to learn about God. Now we want to have people to come to this church and praise God. And I know, you know, we are still doing the online service right now, but hey, I believe that, you know, we're gonna meet in person again, that we're gonna have Sunday service in person again. And church, you know, if you want to help us to reach our vision, to help us to do our missions, which is to connect with God and reach out to people, to bring people to God. Church, I want to encourage you then. I want to ask you to participate with us, to be our partners in getting this building project done. If you want to participate, you can still do it using the usual three ways to give. You can Venmo, you can go to our website, or you can use Zelle, and all you need to do is just to put a note that it's for building fund. Again, if you want to be our partners, if you want to be part of this movement, of these missions, help us financially by giving to IFGF Pinoy and put a building fund. We just recently celebrated our 27th anniversary, and I believe, you know, 27 is just a small numbers. I believe that this church, you know, will go on for a long, long time. You know, I believe that we're gonna celebrate the 30th anniversary, the 40th, the 50th anniversary together. And so, church, if you want to be part of that movement, help us by giving and supporting us financially. And you can use Venmo or Zelle or our church website. Amen. And let me end this service with the verses from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 28 to 29, where it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Church, the greatest gift that God has given us is Himself. For in Jesus, we are safe. That through Jesus, we've been given entrance to this kingdom of heaven. That in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. That He Himself, you know, while we are still sinners, died for us. He bare our punishments so that we can be called the children of God. So church, no matter where you are in your life, in your struggle, in your difficulties, in your disappointment, let's be thankful that God has given Himself for us. Let's be thankful that God has been preparing a future for us where there's no more misery, there's no more crying, there's no more sickness. And let that be a fuel to our hearts so that it remains faithful, it remain grateful. I will keep on singing and praising God for who He is. Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father God, thank you so much for this word. Thank you so much for your promises into our life. Thank you so much for what you have done for us. God, while we are still sinners, you died for us. God, that while we reject you times and times again, while we forget about all the gifts that you've showered us with, you are still faithful. So Lord, today we come to you humbly. We come to you humbly. And to give thanks to you for what you've done and for who you are. I pray that our hearts will sing praises to you and magnify you. Help us to see your greatness. Help us to see how big you are in our life. help us to see all the things that you've put into our lives. Let not our hearts take you for granted. Let not our hearts take all these things in our life for granted. Let we praise you and sing worship to you with all our hearts, with all our energy, because you are worthy of it. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, give us that wisdom, give us that revelations, so that we may see who God really is, that we may see His beauty, that we may see His mercy, that we may see His grace every day of our life. And so every day we can give thanks to Him. Church, as I close, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that the Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord will turn His face toward you and give you peace. May you have the peace in this turbulence time. May you have the confidence to face the difficulties in your life. And may your hearts be filled with thanksgiving, with gratefulness for all that God has done for you. May you be successful in your career. May you be successful in building your family. May you be successful in modeling how a godly parent looks like to your children. I pray that God will give His favor upon you and will walk with you all the days of your life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.